How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on. The most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. And yes, we are live again here today on Tuesday. And thank God, as we've got a lot of stuff to talk about here today. We had Raw last night. So much news. We've got a Raw main event for next week. It's funny. Vince McMahon comes back, apparently to save this show. And one of the ideas when he returns is, A, to make himself a television character again. He is going to be the guest referee for next week's championship match, Roman Reigns versus Sheamus for the title, with Vince McMahon versus Vince McMahon as a special guest referee. And it's funny because among his plans is the idea that we'll announce a main event a week in advance. Do we really need Vince McMahon there to announce a main event a week in advance? Maybe if we announced a match a week in advance every week, the show would do better. Sent out a survey a while ago, this being WWE. And one of the questions they asked was, are you more likely to watch a particular hour of Raw if you know what's going to happen in that hour? Harkening back to the good old days where they'd announce a match in advance. Nowadays, you turn on Raw, you have absolutely no idea what's going to be happening on the show. But this, I guess, is part of Vince McMahon's plan to turn everything around. Announce a match a week in advance with him as a participant. He will be the special guest referee in that match. We can talk about that. We've also got so much other news. The Ryzen show last night with a bunch of different matches, including a very, very sad main event with Shinya Aoki destroying Kazushi Sakuraba. We've got notes on an injury from Raw, Brock Lesnar's next opponent, UFC canceling a pay-per-view, all sorts of stuff, and we're going to kick it off after the break. Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. If you want to give us a call here today, probably not this segment, but later on we'll be taking calls, 425-488-0525, toll free, 844-411-5411, and text messages to 425-780-7566. As we kick off the show here today, I was alerted during the break that Mike has in fact seen the Sakuraba fight from the Ryzen show. And Mike, you were not here during the hourly news update. But my big question is, was the fight worse than the news story with the girl crying because her flight got canceled?
You know, I think the Sakuraba fight was actually worse because I don't know what this woman sounded like as she was crying over her canceled fight, but I was screaming at the computer screen, probably sounding much like that woman for them to stop the fight, which they sort of did way, way too late. Guess for those who don't know, the wacky tradition of New Year's Eve fight shows in Japan, not that it ever went away, but it was just that the NHK Red and White Festival, which is the big thing every year, it's kind of like Dick Clark's rockin' New Year's Eve, I guess, would be the biggest thing to compare it to, except the NHK show actually gets better ratings. Well, mixed martial arts is, even though it never went away from New Year's Eve, it's got a more refreshed approach with three shows taking place, and we've got Inoki involvement in one, and we basically have what I would assume would be the lineage to Pride with Ryzen, and the lineage back to, what was the company after Pride that ran on New Year's Eve for a while there? Do you remember the name
of it? Oh, God. Dream? Yeah, I don't even remember.
Yeah, Dream. That's a Dream, and I think the K1 Heroes type of concept that Ryzen is. And they decided to go back to the past and pull out Kazushi Sakuraba, because why not? If you're going to have a bunch of wacky shows, you need, I guess, your Bob Saps and your Akebonos and your Sakurabas and your Fedors, too, all in wacky fights. And Sakuraba had a fight against Shinya Aoki, who, is a little bit older than he was when he was appearing on these shows 10 years ago. But you know what? He's still younger than Sakuraba, and he's still a much better fighter than Sakuraba is right now. And it was incredibly, incredibly sad. I don't know how many punches Sakuraba took, but 11 seconds into the fight, Aoki had double-legged him and took him down. That's where Sakuraba remained for the rest of the fight. At about the five-minute point, you know, 5 minutes of this went by, and it was a brutal beating for Sakuraba. I mean, almost immediately, Aoki was inside control, and then, you know, was just pounding him, then got in a mount and pounded him. You know, Sakuraba tried to get away and was just getting pummeled. 2.5 minutes in, he tried to get away again and just got pounded worse, and you wondered, okay, how long is this really going to go on? And then less than a minute after that, Sakuraba's turtled up, completely turtled up. Aoki is punching around his hands. He is landing hard on his face. Not too many of the back of the head. We're lucky about that. But Aoki was throwing so many punches, you wouldn't have been surprised if that had accidentally happened. And then with about 5 minutes left in the fight, you know, this goes half a rising round. There was a rear naked choke attempt by Aoki, which Sakuraba was able to get away from, and maybe it was just the amount of blood that was coming out of his head that Aoki couldn't get a good grip. But Sakuraba turtles back up, and Aoki threw, and I'm not kidding here, and I'm not saying all of these landed, but threw about 74 punches in the span of, I don't know, I guess maybe about a minute. Whenever the fight officially ended, whatever the time was, that's when Aoki was throwing to, and I counted 74 of them, and probably 50 or so landed, especially the ones at the very beginning of this flurry, which just kept pounding Sakuraba in the top of the head, the side of the head, and the face. It was brutal. I'll tweet out the picture I have of Sakuraba in a second here, and you can see for yourself, this is horrible. And this is not a surprise. One of the things years ago, we used to have Dr. Keith Lipinski, Zach Ronald, and I had a show called the Peresu Power Hour. And Mauro Ranello, when he got the job from Damon Perry, would come on the show a lot. And Turi Altavilla and everybody that had something to do with Pride was always great to us and always great in getting guests. And Mauro was fantastic about coming on. But I would get into it with him because I would be looking at Japanese and that whole situation, which started, you know, got me into it, the whole thing with mixed martial arts in Japan, when Yuji Nagata, who I had seen in WCW and was a fan of, it was New Japan's, or was going for New Japan's heavyweight championship, and he was knocked out on a New Year's Eve by Mirko Krokop. And it was like, what is going on here in this country? And I got into it, and doing that show, I was able to get into it. And Mauro would come on and try to, you know, kind of explain what the lay of the land was in Japan. And finally, it got it through my head that I kind of understood it. You know, I can't accept it, but I do understand it. But it's going to get somebody killed. And, you know, they've risked guys who have trained, you know, hard in martial arts. But our comedians, like Bobby Olegon, and he actually won a fight on New Year's Eve. Whether it worked, was it not, I don't know. But, you know, he was a trained guy. But he shouldn't have been in a mixed martial arts contest of any kind. You know, even really a hard exhibition, the guy probably shouldn't have been in. And now we have, you know, Sakuraba, you know, and these freak show fights. And this was essentially a freak show fight because Sakuraba is beat up almost. He's not a crippled old man, but he's certainly a crippled fighter. And I don't know if they are just dead set on him dying in the ring so they can say he died with honor and fighting spirit and went out the way he wanted to. But anytime you choose to watch a Sakuraba fight, and this has happened before now, but most certainly after today, I mean, you're watching a fight basically waiting on somebody to die. You're watching Drago and Apollo Creed, you know, at this point. This is insane. And everybody, I mean, the blood of Sakuraba was all over that ring, but it's also on everybody's hands out there who keeps putting him in these positions. And I don't know if it's exploiting the fact that he needs money or if it's exploiting the fight that he actually somehow still believes that he's a fighter and this is what fighters do. But man, this is going to end bad one time because they're going to push it one time too far. This was brutal.
You know, far be it from me to defend the Japanese, and I'm not gonna defend the Japanese, but because I don't think that Sakuraba should ever fight again. However, the last time that Shinya Aoki stopped a man with strikes was 2005. It has been a decade. Every single one of the fights that he has won has been either via decision or via submission. And yesterday on the Filthy Tom Lawler show, and let me say it again, everybody, I don't think that this man, Sakuraba, should ever fight again. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. But yesterday when we were talking about this show on the Filthy Tom episode, and he was asking me what I thought was going to happen, I said, you know what I think is going to happen? I think it's going to be a 3-round draw. Or I think it's going to go to the judges. I figured that this was going to be, I don't want to say like an easy, low-key grappling battle, but I kind of thought it was going to be a low-key, easy grappling battle. I thought they would go in there, somebody would take the other guy down, they would grapple around on the mat, it would be largely a stalemate, Sakuraba wouldn't get hurt that bad. I mean, man, I look at this card here, and I think of all of the guys that in my mind I thought would be 1,000 times worse for Sakuraba to fight than Shinya Aoki. I thought there was no chance the fight would end up going like this, but it did. And again, I don't ever want to see the guy fight again. He never should fight again, and hopefully he never does fight again. But
they showed Hicks and Gracie at ringside. It was just so sad, him looking onto this. It was something sad.
I can imagine. I was told that aside from the Sakuraba fight, this was a really, really fun show. There was a shoot Steiner recliner finish,
awesome,
in a tournament reserve match. But we're going to talk about some pro wrestling when we come back. I got a lot to say about Raw. We got some Raw injuries and a lot more. So stick around, everybody. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. One of the funniest shows coming out of Raw, or one of the funniest stories coming out of the Raw show on Monday night, was the situation with The Big Show. They did the same angle that they have done for every Royal Rumble for the last 25 years, which is you do a segment where a whole bunch of geeks end up in the ring, and then there's a giant in the ring, and then the giant throws everybody out, and the announcers talk about how nobody could possibly beat this giant. It is the classic WWE Royal Rumble booking. And when he was done throwing everybody out, everybody starts chanting, "Please retire," at The Big Show. And The Big Show says, "Well, I don't think I will retire. I hereby announce I will be the first entrant into the Royal Rumble." And so the way I interpreted that was that means that The Big Show is entering the Royal Rumble as the first guy involved in it.
He said he was going to be the number one guy.
He didn't say that. He said he was going to be the first entrant.
Either way, it was bad.
Well, that's the point. So you obviously interpreted that as I'm going to be number one. I interpreted that as you need to learn English. What you're really trying to say is I'm the first guy throwing my name into the ring enter the Royal Rumble.
Hey, look, this man has read the scripted dialogue and had to memorize that. So he had a little bit of a slip up on WWE programming. Probably the least most important, speaking of good English, probably the least most important role he'll have to play is being the big angry giant on Miz TV on WWE programming. Actually, the commercials he does for USA and did for USA for the holidays with Miz and the Bella Twins was actually better than anything he did last night.
Well, let me continue now. So on Twitter, you had everybody trying to figure out what the hell is The Big Show talking about? Why would you want to enter number one? You had people writing, man, when I was a kid, that was a number you didn't want. You wanted number 30. Why does this big, giant Big Show want number one? That doesn't make any sense. So then they go to the announcers. And JBL starts talking about, man, this guy is going to enter number one. And the announcers start to argue about, well, I'm not sure that's exactly what he meant. So this morning, I wake up, and somebody close to the creative team has email to say Big Show will be number one in the Royal Rumble. And I was like, how about that? Number one. Wow. So maybe he didn't misspeak. Maybe he really was saying that he was going to enter at number one. Well, moments ago, I got an email here, WWE confirming Big Show not entering at number one. It's just like a great day. Yeah, to me, that was a highlight of Raw last night. Actually, I take that back. There was a very, very good segment with John Cena and Alberto Del Rio, where John Cena was going to come back and he was going to have a U.S. title match with Del Rio, which had been announced. But then he said, this man Del Rio, he has decided he's not going to be putting his title on the line. And Del Rio comes out and they went back and forth essentially with John Cena trying to shame him into putting the U.S. title on the line. And at the end of the day, Del Rio decided that I'm a fighting Mexican and I'm going to do this. I'm putting my title on the line tonight. It was the most fire we have seen from Del Rio maybe in his entire WWE tenure. I can't say it was as good as some of the promos that he cut after he left WWE and he was just totally on fire. But this was
when he was super duper motivated and refreshed and stimulated and challenged. You know, I don't know. This run, Alberto Del Rio is playing to the level that they're throwing out there. And it's almost, I think you were one of the ones who said, I think you may have been one of the ones who said it, that, you know, he basically, you know, he's just shrugging right now going, look what I'm being given. Fine, I'll go through the paces. You're paying me. That's fine. But, you know, kind of wears it on his sleeve that this sucks. You know, maybe not as much as a CM Punk, but you're going to know what Del Rio thinks about what he's in by the look on his face, whether he hams it up with Wade Barrett or not. And John Cena last night really got that out of him. Del Rio was passionate. It was great. They went back and forth, and it was a star that came back. No matter what reaction John Cena gets, he is a superstar, and he does bring up the level of everybody around him and him. You know, sticking it to Del Rio, because in storyline, everything that Cena said was correct. That Del Rio basically was going through the paces. The U.S. title challenge used to be fun. Everything used to be great. And now it sucks. And it sucks because Alberto Del Rio, you're a bum, and I'm taking my belt back. And I, again, challenged his manhood. You know, Del Rio accepted the championship match. Now, it was not a very creative ending, you know, that they are still stuck in some ruts.
Not
that
a
way.
Very creative ending. To say the least.
There was not a whole lot of those. Look, that's one of the things where there's a lot of things they need to do. They need to create new heels. They need to make sure Roman Reigns is over. They need to do lots of things. But one of the things they really need to do is work on these finishes, stop with the walkout finishes, be more creative. And one of the ways that, and I don't know how many people notice this or not, but it certainly seemed like Sin Cara hurt his shoulder for real when he did. Taken off.
We got a whole update.
Apron. Okay, well, hold on that for just a second, because it was the match either after that or maybe it was two after that, and I believe it was one of the Usos that was hurt in a match and was selling his shoulder. And that was obviously, you know, part of the match, but it's like, why didn't nobody improvise? If, you know, and again, maybe this is too old school or too nitpicky, but it's like, you know, the guy who has the worked injury, just work a different part of the body. We just got a real shoulder injury where this guy is dragging it across the ring, and now you're going to go to try to sell one. You know, you probably should have changed to a different body part. But things like that's stuff that they need to definitely tighten up and fix.
All right, first off, going back to the Big Show deal. So anything can happen in WWE, and he may still end up being number one. They are going to reshoot his promo to, I guess, clarify what he actually meant. You know what they should do is they should do a deal where he comes on television next week and he goes, hold on, everybody. I know that we're all confused about what I said last week, but what I meant when I said I would be the first entrant, what I meant is that I'm the first man to throw my hat into the ring. I will not be the first entrant in the Battle Royal. It is completely at random, and I definitely will not be number one. And then, randomly, he gets chosen number one, and he has to be number one anyway in the Royal Rumble. That would be a twist. But anyway, the Sin Cara deal. Sin Cara did, in fact, dislocate his shoulder. This from the front page of WrestlingObserver.com, where you can always go, everybody, for the latest news and info on pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Jorge Arias, who works as Sin Cara in WWE, suffered a dislocated shoulder last night in his match with Big E on Raw. The spot, replayed multiple times, saw Arias on the apron when Big E scooped his leg, pulled him off the apron. He took a bump off the apron to the floor, landing badly on the shoulder. The match was halted temporarily as the New Day backed off, plated the crowd, Trainer came out. Even though it seemed clear he was hurt, even more so as the match continued, the match did in fact continue to its planned conclusion, Avi winning with the big ending, although he very much was protecting the left shoulder when he did the move. And in fact, if you watch back, you can hear Sin Cara thanking Big E for protecting him on the finish. Sin Cara on Twitter acknowledged the injury, saying, "Not even a dislocated shoulder could stop me from performing in this great city."
Unlike some Sin Caras.
There is no word on how long he may be out of action. WWE officials stated the full report is not in, but the injury is not believed to be anything serious. So, hopefully he ends up better quickly. I recommend everybody not take flat back bumps off the apron.
It's so stupid.
A bad idea.
It was stupid. Look, I got to give it to it. There's lots of things, you know, they risky things, but that was just stupid.
And also, Jacob here says, "Mike, you're wrong. The Uso injury was a knee or a leg." Which actually it was. He did work over his leg.
There was, again, I can't remember which one it was. I'd have to go back and see. But it was just, again, right after you're seeing Sin Cara realistically drag his arm at his side. You're watching somebody else try to sell a shot to the arm. And it's like, you know, I don't know if the agents have the ability to change that stuff or not. Or if it's, you know, once it's out there as a directive that that's what it's going to be. This is what they're going to do. But why not change that? You know, and again, it's
dude,
it's
I got a bigger continuity issue. And this one actually really did bother me. Everybody sells and does stupid things in matches, but next week's main event is Roman Reigns versus Sheamus with Vince McMahon as the guest referee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A couple of weeks ago, Roman Reigns won the WWE World Heavyweight title on Raw. It was the first title change on Raw in years, as far as like the main WWE World Heavyweight title. So they bought themselves a little bit of, what would be the word? They convinced fans, you know what? A title can change hands on this show. They bought themselves some equity. Mm-hmm. So, knowing that, why would you do a John Cena Alberto Del Rio title match on Raw with the lamest run-in disqualification finish you've ever seen a week before you're trying to convince fans that this time, with Vince McMahon as referee, there's no way that Roman Reigns is walking out with the championship? Why would you do that? I mean, I don't think the title's going to change hands next week at all. But if I had a 1% inkling that maybe they'd switch the title, I currently now have a 0% inkling because I saw such a lame title match, goofy finish on Raw the week prior. I have no idea why they did that. We got a caller on the line. We're going to go to him after the break. We'll take your text message questions as well, because I got a very important one to answer here. We got a big show coming up Thursday and Friday. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And we have got a very, very good question from Chris in Las Vegas here today. First off, he says, "Didn't they just do this arrest angle with Stephanie last year? It felt so desperate and recycled. I'm also over the New Day," he says. "Once my favorite act, they are so annoying now." There's a big question. It's a very good question. I'm glad he asked. What's so funny?
Sorry.
Your child?
Sorry. Dom, no. Our fine producer sent me the vine of Mike Tyson on a hoverboard falling down, and it's
Man,
it's just,
you know, before
it's Mike Tyson on a hoverboard falling down. It's
before
good.
I get into this email question right here, I had been hearing hoverboard, and finally I saw a video of an actual hoverboard. What a letdown! It's a skateboard. It doesn't hover. It's on wheels.
The segue without the stick, right?
God, lame. Anyway.
Would you expect to actually, you know, be flying throughout the air as if it's, you know, a magic carpet or an actual hoverboard?
Yeah, because you know what? One of these days there will be an actual hoverboard. So why use the term hoverboard for something that is essentially a lame skateboard? A skateboard that doesn't work.
A hoverboard while intoxicated.
Bad idea. Anyway, getting back to Chris here. He says, will you be doing the annual prediction show? I haven't heard anything on it. That is from Chris in Vegas. A brief history lesson for everybody. We began going weekly here on Sports Byline last January. Actually, we did a week leading up to the Royal Rumble every single day, and it ended up being a big hit, and so we decided, hey, let's go 5 days a week every day, and we've been doing it ever since. So last year at this time, we did not have a daily live show. And so we did, I think we had a live stream still then, but we've since gotten rid of that. So I am pleased to announce that this year we will be doing the prediction show live here on the air. And we are going to be doing it this Thursday and Friday. So listen carefully. Here's how it's going to work. I have all of the predictions from last year, and I'm going to start reading out the predictions maybe tomorrow. Maybe Thursday. Maybe we'll do them throughout both shows. I'm going to start reading the predictions from last year. We'll see who was a prognosticator and who was a damn fool. Then we will take predictions for this coming year. And the way it will work is you can only make your prediction during a call. I don't want any email predictions. I don't want any Twitter predictions. I don't want any text message predictions. If you want to make a prediction, you've got to call in. You get one prediction for the year 2016. And when you make your prediction, there's going to be a big prize I will give away for the person who has the best prediction from last year. I will give a big prize for the biggest prediction from next year. The way it works is, obviously, there are going to be some people who correctly predict something for next year, but the best prediction is going to win. So don't call and say, I predict that in 2016,
there's going to be some 50-50 booking.
There will be 50-50 booking on Raw. Or I predict in 2016, there will be more than 18,000 people at WrestleMania. These predictions will not win you the grand prize. The more outlandish, the better. Try to predict something that will really happen so you can be in the running for the grand prize. But we will do that on Thursday and Friday this week, the New Year's Eve and New Year's Day editions of the show. So you can all get ready for that. Let's go to the phones. This fella's been waiting a long time. You're on the air studio line. What's up?
Hi, this is Ian from San Antonio. Since Raw last night sucked worse than a John Cena Gene Snitsky match from 2005, I want to talk about Lucha Underground. I know I'm really late on this, but I mean, I just saw Lucha Underground like over the past week because I don't get the El Rey Network. So I just found them all like online and watched them all. And I finished like, you know.
You watched Lucha 38 probably. Episodes of Lucha Underground in one weekend?
39.
No, 1 week.
Oh, 1 week. That's still pretty impressive.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Some people spend 40 hours working at a job. You spend 40 hours watching Lucha Underground. I like what you do more.
Well, thank you. I'm blind, and I'm also, I just turned 18 recently, so I don't really, I haven't started college yet. But, I watched all Lucha Underground and everything like that and everything. And so I just, wanted to, talk about it because since I just saw Ultimate Lucha and everything like that and everything like that, this product, it's so refreshing in so many ways in that the baby faces are pretty much beloved on the show and the heels are genuinely hated and they are also allowed to go, I remember who the match was right now that had the match with Sexy Star and he just like slapped her in the face and this crowd went berserk and anyone really wrestled Sexy Star just got a lot of heat because she was a girl and the guys were just like punching her in the face like the crew that one match they had that she had against them. And it was just so good, and I buy into it because I think that since it's written like a TV show, it's like you sit there and all the wrestlers buy in and the announcers buy in. It's almost like it's separate from like everything else was kind of going on in the world, even though a lot of the stuff, especially in the backstage stuff, is like unrealistic, like the supernatural stuff that they do, but it still seems so genuine, and I enjoyed it because it just seemed like everything clicked on all cylinders. I don't think I saw one bad episode of the entire thing.
Are you a subscriber to our website?
I'm not currently, but I'm probably going to start within the next month or two.
All right, well, listen, I want you to start when you can, and then I want you to go back, and I want you to listen to all of the reviews that Vinny and I did on the Brian and Vinny show for Lucha Underground, because everything that you were talking about is correct. Everything you were talking about, we reviewed every single week on the show, and it is true. I obviously can't spend the whole show here talking about it, because it would take forever, and we talked about it on every single review, but there, if you watch Lucha Underground and you study it as a television show, you'll see so many reasons why it works, and TNA and WWE, when they try to do this outlandish stuff, it's so lame. There's a internal consistency to the logic of Lucha Underground that is often missing in WWE and TNA, and it's too bad that they can't learn anything from that show, because that is a true groundbreaking show. Obviously, it had a lot of problems in terms of viewership because it was on channels that nobody watches, but for years, especially in the early days of TNA, when TNA was exactly like WWE, just worse, and everybody would always go, you know what is needed is an alternative. And everybody's idea for an alternative wasn't really an alternative. And finally, along comes Lucha Underground. And let me tell you something. If ever there was an alternative to TNA and WWE and every other wrestling company in the world, that was it. And it was awesome. And it's coming back here soon. Let's go to the studio line. You're on the air.
This is Jim from Virginia.
Yes, Jim. Always happy to hear your voice.
Oh, well, thank you. I hope y'all had a nice Christmas.
You too.
Okay. Now, I need to straighten out something. Ed called in Sunday and was saying all kinds of things about I didn't have the WWE Network and this, that, and the other. I want him to know that I have been a WWE Network subscriber since January of this year. And I have watched the matches between Bayley and Sasha. I know what's going on. And as far as, you know, supporting the shines and all that shit, I get the shows on the replays. I don't get them live, but I know what all's going on. But I just wanted to let him know he was saying a lot of things that weren't true, that I didn't know what was going on in women's wrestling, which had to make me chuckle because a lot of things I bring up on the show that he doesn't even bring up. So,
man.
Well, it's Ed. Most of the things he says isn't true.
Okay. And now another thing, one other real quick thing. The guy was right talking about the deal. They did take Stephanie away in cuffs. The Bellas ones had her arrested, didn't they?
That's right. That was the... Wait a second. Was that SummerSlam this year?
Yeah. Well, maybe it was the year prior.
The
job turned.
Yeah, it was the year prior. So obviously it wasn't this year. Yep.
Because the sisters turned on each other.
That's right. We had the slapping gimmick.
Exactly. And Stephanie, when she got carted away with the, she really oversold it. Real, she was crying and carrying on. And
that's right. That did happen. So it has been a while, but yes, we have seen it before.
Yeah, but they like going back to that one. I mean, that was a standby from the Attitude Era, somebody being taken out in handcuffs. So I'm not, whether it's babyface or heel. So I'm not surprised that they did it. Hey, they are throwing everything up against the wall, which I think they should. I know, Brian, you were critical on them bringing Vince back. With Cena already coming back, I'm kind of the other way, where it's like, you better just do what you can now. Go balls out every single week.
No, I agree, but what I was saying was, so this coming Monday, as Dave noted, it's 2 weeks from now, is the big head-to-head game. So why not have Cena come back this week and pop the rating? Have Vince McMahon come back next week, pop the rating, and then he signs the match for the week after, so Vince McMahon is referee for the championship matches head-to-head with the football game. Wouldn't that have been better?
Well, unless you know you're going to get so slaughtered by that anyway, you've got some other backup plan, like you're going to do League of Nations.
Hope, Cena. Mike. You can never give up.
I know, but I know that the McMahons also are savvy enough to not want to put themselves in too bad of a spot or have the perception on something that they're in that's their thing being screwed up. And I think that you can accomplish that. Well, we saw what the reaction was to the League of Nations last night with Cena. Even though it was Cena and everything, it's still the League of Nations in the match with the Usos and Ambrose. Nobody cares. And if you could do them and Cena or something with those guys in the main event, or have that be what you takes the heat of the rating, because everything's going to die against that football game in all likelihood. We don't know that yet because we still have to have the games to get there. So God knows what we're going to get, but odds are everything's going to get slaughtered. So if you want to maximize the eyeballs, I actually am for them doing this, you know, next week. That to me would make more sense.
Well, I respectfully disagree.
You don't have the NFL, so you're going to get a natural, in theory, you're going to get a small natural bump anyway that they can claim that, hey, this is what we did.
Yeah, they could claim that without Vince, too.
Yeah, but they can't claim it going up against the
football game. They could sign Roman Reigns versus some random geek in the main event.
You need Vince. I think you need Vince right now. I don't care what I know.
Yeah, he'd be back next week, dude. He would just be the referee the week after. All I'm doing is delaying it 1 week to get one extra rating.
It doesn't matter. He's going to be on anyway because it's working right now. And he realizes one of the reasons he didn't want to be on TV was because he doesn't like old people on TV. Well, he got the hair done a little bit. And frankly, he still takes a better bump than some of the guys on that roster. So we're probably going to see Vince and Triple H until Triple H comes back or whatever that is. They're all going to be on TV anyway. It doesn't matter. They're all going to be on TV anyway.
Were we watching the same show when he took that bump and claimed his neck hurt? That was the worst bump I ever saw.
But the week before, how soon we forget the week before him getting kicked off the apron like garbage after taking a Superman punch. The fall was supposed to be bad, so he can fall and go fake the whole "I hurt my neck."
Come on, man.
I thought you did cinema.
Let me tell you the real best feud going today. It's Ed in San Antonio against Jim in Virginia, a main event in any arena around this country
or some sort of building.
Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Let me run through some of these text messages here very quickly. Lexus did make an actual hoverboard that floats, but only works on specially built skate parks with magnetic strips on the ground. They used them for their commercial, not for sale either. We got this person here that says, A week or so ago on Brian and Vinny's show, somebody played a song so good you gave them a special prize, but Craig pulled something of great value out of a box first. What was it? Well, it was a very specially autographed photo.
Sex toy.
Photo. Again, Mike?
Photo.
This person here says, what UFC pay-per-view got canceled? That would be the scheduled show for March 5th in Rio de Janeiro. It was originally going to be headlined by Anderson Silva, but they moved Anderson Silva off that show to face Michael Bisping in London on a Fight Pass show, because the idea is they're trying to build up Fight Pass this year, and therefore they're putting the highest quality main event they've ever had on Fight Pass, highest profile on that show, and with Anderson Silva off the show, I guess they just decided for that and economic reasons in Brazil to cancel the March 5th pay-per-view altogether. So that one is now off the books. This person says, are they going to have anybody from NXT in the Rumble, like Balor, Joe, or James Storm? I think you will see an NXT face. I don't know if it'll be the debut of any of those guys, but I don't know. And that is it, everybody. We got to wrap it up. But hey, we're back here again tomorrow with a brand new show. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. I want to thank Mike, as always, all of the callers and listeners, everybody at Sports Byline. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.